I want me some clean feet. How many people want clean feet? Praise God. Don't feel embarrassed. I'm not setting this up for a foot washing. You don't have to worry.
I'm so embarrassed about my feet. I don't want anybody to see them.
Don't you want clean feet? If it means you can get into the chambers of the King and sup with Him and lean on His breast as John did and fellowship and feel His love wrapping its arms around you until you cry tears of joy. That's where clean feet will get you, man. Praise God. What are the benefits? I'll close with this. What are the benefits of spiritual cleansing, of getting rid of that defilement? It's awesome. Let me tell you what the benefits are. Let's go to the book of Psalms. This is a revivalist favorite passage, man. Psalm 24, 3 to 4. Chris Greenlee could quote this to you. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands, that means purity in our actions. We do stuff with our hands. And a pure heart, that means purity in our thoughts. So our actions and our thoughts, cleansed from all spiritual defilement of soul, spirit, and body. Our actions and our thoughts are washed and cleansed before God. Clean hands and a pure heart. Now, what are the promises attached to that? What does that give us? Well, it says we can ascend into the hill of the Lord and stand in His holy place. What does that mean? Let's look at another parallel passage to that. It's talking about the same thing. Psalm 15:1 says, Lord, who may abide in Your tabernacle? That's the holy place. He's talking about standing in the holy place. Lord, who may abide in Your tabernacle? Who may dwell in Your holy hill? Now, you Bible scholars, what was on top of the holy hill? Well, in later years. Let me go back. Tabernacle, was it permanent or portable? Portable. Fold that bad boy up, throw it in the trunk, you're good to go. You need a big trunk. What was on top of the hill, though? That hill, yeah. The temple. Same deal, but permanent, right? On top of the holy hill was Jerusalem, and in the midst of Jerusalem was the temple. All right, the tabernacle was portable. They carried it around. It was there as they traveled through the promised land, into the land of Canaan. They'd set it up. They'd go from city to city, victory to victory, and they'd set up the tabernacle. In the midst of the tabernacle was the holy place. They had the lampstand. They had the table of showbread. They had the altar of incense. And then you go into the holiest of holies, and there was the thing that Indiana Jones wanted, which was the Ark of the Covenant, where the blood was poured on the mercy seat. And what hovered over that Ark of the Covenant? The presence of the living God, the manifested Shekinah glory of God. It was a place of intimate fellowship with God. It was a place where God met man. It was the only place in the world where you could walk in and know that the manifested Shekinah glory of God was there. In fact, it was so holy, they used to tie a rope around the priest in case he went in defiled and got incinerated in the process by the holiness of God, they could drag out a couple of his ashes. David and I were talking about that on the way to the men's retreat. That was so funny. I'll just throw this in, man. He said, you know, what do you think happened? What do you think must have gone on when that veil was torn in the temple? And I thought, boy, I bet some of the priests said, we're in trouble now. I bet the dude that had the rope around his waist, when that veil of the temple tore in half, I bet that guy went running out of that place. Whoa! I wasn't ready yet. I hadn't washed yet. Probably figured the flames were going to come out and incinerate him. They probably were scurrying out of that place so quick. And old Bob was saying, he was like, wasn't mopped up. Larry was on duty. I didn't touch it. I didn't do a thing. Don't look at me. Oh, we're in deep trouble now. It was a place of intimate fellowship with the presence of the living God. When Moses would go in the tabernacle, man, his face would shine whiter than my feet. He actually had to hide his face, put a cover, a veil over his face, because it was so lit with the presence and the glory of God. It's a place of intimate fellowship. Praise God. 24/7, David's tabernacle was a place of 24/7 worship. There was always worship going in there. It's a place of worship. It's a place of celebration. It's a place of joy. It's a place where people could celebrate and love on the goodness of God and sing His praises and declare His glory and His goodness. It's a place where folks could get happy and celebrate and love on the Lord. 24/7 worship, the cloud of God's glory, the presence of God that caused Moses' face to shine. David said this, David Love, he said in Psalm 27, one thing I have desired of the Lord, one thing that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. It's where I go to see the beauty of the Lord. So it's not only a place, but it's not only a place of worship and intimacy and friendship and fellowship with God that floods our souls with joy and good stuff. But He said in the day of trouble, He'll hide me in His tabernacle. It's a place of protection. And so when you're with Joshua and you are going into a land inhabited by giants that God has told you to drive out, He has sent you in to kick some spiritual butt. And they're playing for keeps. You may want a little protection. Goliath had six brothers. David probably thought, oh my gosh, man, I thought I had the job done, but who are these guys? And they almost took him out. His buddies had to pull him out of battle and say, don't worry, David, we got this one covered. Huge giants in the land going in. And waging war. You know, and there is no war. When we get to heaven on that day when Christ establishes His kingdom and the enemy is thrown into the lake of fire, you will never have to worry about spiritual warfare again. But right now, there is warfare on every side. We are beset. There are fiery arrows and they are flying back and forth. And buddy, I want me some armor. I want me some protection. But in the tabernacle, man, that's the place. See, because the tabernacle was portable. They come into the promised land. They go, you know, take Jericho. Bam. All right, what's next? They go to the next city. Bam. And they had to carry that thing around. So it's talking about in this place, in this world, while we're still fighting these battles, while we're still taking the kingdom, while we are still setting people free, liberating the captives, healing the sick, opening blinded eyes and declaring the glory of God, seeing people get saved, healed, and delivered. While we are plundering the enemy's camp in the midst of this warfare, we have a secret place we can go with clean feet where we will get refreshed and renewed and recharged and filled up with joy. And the whole time we are under the shadow of His wings, enjoying the blessedness of His protection. What's the benefits of clean hands and a pure heart? One, you can abide in the tabernacle. But the other benefit is this. At the end of your days, man, you're going to the holy hill. Because that structure is permanent. You're not carrying it around. You're an alien and a stranger. Some folks are stranger than others. But you're an alien and a stranger here. You have no lasting home here. But you're going to a place where you have a lasting home where you will be forever in the glory of God. And in that place, in that temple, that structure that is there to abide forever, there we have a lasting city. There we have a lasting inheritance. There we have a lasting fellowship with the fullness of God. The party never stops in heaven. When I was a kid and I was playing with my buddies in their basement and my cousins, we'd be having a good old time. And all of a sudden, in the midst of one of our games, I'd hear the door open and my mom would say, "Johnny, time to go home." And my heart would break because I didn't want to stop. I wanted the party to last forever. When you go home, you will never have to say goodbye again. This weekend, a very precious, dear woman stepped into the arms of the Lord. Larry Greenlee's mom went home to be with Jesus. And while we are excited for her reward, while we are thrilled at the joy that she is drinking right now, it is still hard to say goodbye. When we get on that holy hill, we'll never have to say goodbye again. Matthew Henry said it's two things, the church militant and the church triumphant. Right now we're the church militant. We're going out and we're taking the land. But there's coming a day when we're going to be the church triumphant and the battle will be won. I'm sorry, the war will be won. You want to go to that place, you got to have clean hands and a pure heart, looking for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. But Christ gives it all. If we simply go to Him and say, "Lord, wash my feet also." So praise God, man. That's all I got to say. Let's wash our feet before the Lord. And yes, we need to wash each other's feet in service too. But let's be clean before the Lord. Let's look at our lives and say, anything that needs to get out of my life so that I can be spiritually whole before God. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness, on and on and on. Whatever it is, and we were talking about it at the men's retreat, whatever the gates of your life are allowing in that ought not to be there, that should have been stopped at the gate by a multitude of guards, tell the guards, coffee break is over. It's time to take your post. These gates are going to be clean from now on. No one comes in the gate that does not belong here. Flesh no longer enters the gate. Sin no longer enters the gate. Lord, this is your place and I belong to you. I'm posting a guard at the gate. But I'm not only keeping out the enemy, because Scripture says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors," because there's someone else that wants to come in. Who's that? The King of Glory! Let him in! Stop spending time with the foolishness and the nonsense and go lift up the gates, because the King of Glory wants to come in. It's not enough just to say no to this. I want to say yes to Him. I want to spend my day and my night and every waking hour waiting at the gate to welcome in the King of Glory and pursuing those things that will bring Him more and 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 more into my life. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Amen.